And now your speaker, Ron Martin.
I'd like for us more or less to talk about what we can do at this congregation. As we look around this congregation, I see people who are dedicated in doing the Lord's work. I can look around this my community, and I can see a congregation that can go out and extend itself into this community and be a real blessing to this community, to those who live here, to those who need to find Christ, to those who need help along the way, and those who expect us to truly be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. This congregation has not lost its perspective. God expects us to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. He expects us to be a people glorifying His name, standing forth as a lighthouse to all those who want to follow after Christ and to do His will. At the very beginning of our study this morning, I want to take you to the Sea of Galilee. And in the 5th chapter of the book of Luke, I can see Jesus, the master teacher. There, the multitudes are pressing around Him. And so, He gets into a little ship and casts out a little ways and teaches the multitude. Now, when He had left speaking, He said unto Simon, "Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught." And Simon answering said unto Him, "Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at Thy word, I will let down the net." And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. So was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had forsook all, they followed after Jesus. And when they brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed Him. Now here, I can see in this setting a normal seaside fisherman down by the Sea of Galilee. There they had toiled, they had been at work all the night. They had let out their nets, they had looked for so diligently their cast of fish that they might bring to shore. And then that morning they were there washing out those nets, getting them ready for the next time that they might go out upon the Sea of Galilee. And whenever Jesus, our Lord, the Christ, finishes His speaking, He says to them, "Launch out into the deep." Now Jesus, in looking at these men, says, "I want you to receive a great lesson from this." A lot of us have been busy toiling days and nights, but still, in all of our minds, there must be that constant striving to launch out into the deep. Now, some say, "I'll launch out into the deep tomorrow." A little later, I'll launch out into the deep, and they'll try with all of their ability to try to put it off a little longer and say, I'll do it later. But there's no time like the present. Launch out now. Some say, look at the harbor. It's safe. Let's just hold on to what we've got in the harbor instead of going out into the deep. The harbor's safe. It's secure. It's restful. And in the harbor, we become indifferent. We fail to go forward for the Lord in doing what we can. So therefore, the harbor should not be that place of tranquility and indifference and apathy. Let us go forward in doing the work of the Lord, launching out into the deep. I want you to notice of all the things that can be said, good or bad, about Simon Peter, this is one of the greatest statements that you can put into Simon Peter's good portion. Simon Peter says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. In other words, Simon Peter, in all of his speaking out, in all of the times that he puts his foot into his mouth, he says something great here, and something that is an attitude that each one of us should have. We ought to be able to say, as Simon Peter said here, because you have said to do it, I am willing and ready to do it. I'm ready to do what you have told me to do. I'm ready to go forward. At thy word, I will let down the net. Now notice the great reward that was there whenever they did what the Master told them to do. And the same is true for us. If we'll do what the Master has said to do, we'll be rewarded in doing it. The smallest cup of cold water will in no wise lose its reward. If we'll dedicate ourselves in doing the Lord's work, we're going to go forward. We're going to be blessed, because God is going to give the increase. Whenever they went out on the Sea of Galilee, they let down that net. And it was such a great school of fishes that their nets started tearing. They called for their fellow partners, James and John, come over and help us with these nets. They pulled with all of their might, pulling this catch into their ships. So great that was the catch that their ships started sinking. Simon Peter, seeing all of this with great fear, with great marvel, fell down to his knees and said, O Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Jesus says to this man, Simon, you're no longer going to be a catcher of fish, but you're going to be a fisher of men. Now, whenever we think about our occupation, about what we can do as Christians, that's exactly our occupation. We are fishers of men. No matter what we may be doing, we may be engineers, we may be school teachers, we may be bankers, whatever the occupation we may be, the overall occupation that is overshadowing is the fact that we must be fishers of men. Notice about these men, as they brought their ships in to the land, they left their ships, and it says here, they forsook all, and they followed after Jesus. There was total dedication of these men. They were willing to give everything to follow after Jesus and to put Him first and foremost in their lives. And the same is true for us today. If we are to be a growing, a vibrant congregation, we must have people who are willing to put Jesus first and foremost in their lives. We cannot put Jesus in second place and expect to have a congregation that is pleasing in the sight of God. Of all of the things that I've undertaken in life, I have found that there is one key to success, and that key to success is work. I have not been able to do anything without work. I worked at everything that I've done. I stand here this morning. Whenever I first started coming to this congregation, I was a little boy sitting upon the front row. But I thought, maybe one day I'll be able to stand and preach to this congregation. I worked, I went to school, and every class that I was in, I worked to establish the top grade in that class, that one day I might be an effective preacher of the gospel, to give it everything that I've got. When you look at me this morning, I'm giving you everything that I've got. I've worked at it. I've tried to accomplish, because it was not my will, but I wanted to do the Lord's work and His will upon this earth. As a congregation of the Lord's people, we've got to have a mind to work, a will to give it everything that we've got to go forward in the work of this congregation. There's a book in the Old Testament, and it's a very small book in terms of the numbers of chapters, but it's a book that has some great ideas and great thoughts. It's the little book of Nehemiah. And here's the situation. Nehemiah is a cupbearer, and as he hears news from Jerusalem, far away from home, he hears that the gates have been torn down and burned, and that the walls surrounding the city of Jerusalem have been torn down, and he weeps bitterly within. And Nehemiah determines, I'm going to go back to Jerusalem, and I'm going to work to see that those walls are rebuilt and put back together. And he goes to the king and says, I want to go back home. And the king gives him a letter giving him that authority to go back and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And in the fourth chapter of the book of Nehemiah, in verse 6, is a key idea about how this could be accomplished. It says, so built we the wall. And all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. For the people had a mind to work. Now I want you to engrave this into your mind. The people had a mind to work. In other words, they gave it what they had. They were willing to sacrifice and put their backs into it in going forward, in rebuilding the walls. I want to tell you, this wasn't an easy task. There were enemies without. They sought to halt the work, to delay it in every regard. There were enemies within that sought to tear down and destroy the work. Nevertheless, Nehemiah worked on. And in the sixth chapter of the book of Nehemiah, there were those messengers sent to him. And they said to Nehemiah, come out, come away from the work and join us, because we're going to have a little meeting together. And the purpose of this meeting was that they might kill Nehemiah. And they said, come off the wall, stop your work. I want you to notice what Nehemiah said to them. I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease? Whist I leave it and come down to you. Now let us have this attitude here at this congregation. Number one, we have a people with a mind to work. We're doing the greatest work in all the world, the Lord's work here upon this earth. And number two, we are doing a great work. We cannot leave this work. Let's look around us. There are those that say around us, oh, look at Central Congregation. Look at how large they are. But look at their work. Is their work to the glory of God? Look at this congregation. How much are they going forward in doing the Lord's work? Each member of this congregation should have a goal. The goal that we have, and we'll be looking at these goals in developing ourselves as Christians. Not only individual Christians, but as a congregation. What do we want to do? Where do we want to go? How many people do we want to convert to Christ? The people had a mind to work. Nehemiah realized, I am doing a great work. I cannot come down. Now, as we conclude our study together today, I want to remind you of some of the great passages about work and about going forward in the Lord's work. The first passage that I want to read with you, that I want you to remember today, is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. This is the great resurrection chapter. And in this great resurrection chapter, the ending verse says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Therefore, my brethren, keep on steadfastly doing the Lord's work. Don't let down. Keep going forward faithfully to the charge that has been given to you. Continue unmovable. Don't give up. Don't compromise the Lord's work. And then number three, always abound. Now notice, it doesn't say sometimes abound, but it means that we ought to keep on going, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The next passage that I want to share with you is taken from the book of Galatians. And if you'll turn there to the 6th chapter of the book of Galatians, it tells us how large our opportunity and how great our work is in doing the work of this congregation. The Apostle Paul, writing to the churches at Galatia, says this, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now listen. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now, what a wonderful passage for us to remember as we have a new minister coming, a new minister who will want to pull this congregation together, who will want to go forward in working for the Lord, in seeing that every empty seat in this auditorium is filled as we have opportunity. Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Let's look at one more passage. And this is taken from the third chapter of the book of Philippians. Now here, the setting is Paul writing to the church that he was vitally essential in establishing. In the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, we read of how the church at Philippi was established. At the occasion of this writing, he is in prison. And he writes to stir them up, to let them know that there is joy in Christ and that there is great joy in carrying out the Lord's work. Paul says to them, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend for that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I want you to look at this passage. Notice what it says. The Apostle Paul says, "I'm not where I want to be." It's as the illustration is given in the Greek, as if he were in a foot race. And in that race, he is running hard. He is striving with all of his might to go forward. He says, "I'm not across that finish line yet. I'm working. I'm striving to go forward." He says, "I'm forgetting those things that are behind. I press on toward the prize, the mark of the high prize of the calling of God in Christ Jesus." Now that's what every one of us must do in this congregation. We must forget those things that are behind. We can't change them. We can't live in the past. We can't live on past glories. But we must live in the present, right today. We are building a congregation to the glory of God today. And each one of us must be pressing on, striving diligently to go forward as this congregation seeks and hopes to be a glorious congregation dedicated to the glory of God. And finally, this morning, the Apostle Paul said, near the close of his life, he said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." As a congregation of the Lord's people here at this place, let us launch out into the deep. Let us have a mind to work and dedicate ourselves to that great work which is before us. Let us not look back, but let us go forward in the work of Christ here at this congregation. That's what the Lord expects of us. That's what we must do in order to be pleasing to Almighty God. Upon this beautiful first day of the week, it's my wonderful privilege to extend the invitation of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. There are those in this audience together today can think with me, I ought to be a Christian. You've thought about it for years. You have put it off for some reason or excuse. But today, as you think about this invitation of Jesus Christ, don't put it off any longer. Step forward this day, believing with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, turning from your sins and turning to Christ, making confession before this group of people that loves you, saying to them, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And this morning, being buried with Christ in baptism for the remission of your sins, raised up out of that watery grave, a new creature in Christ Jesus. Or this morning, if you wandered away, if you failed in your dedication to the cause of Christ, if you've sinned in a public way, come back this morning. Dedicate yourself to doing God's will again. Make confession of your sin. Ask the prayers of the church and to Almighty God for forgiveness. Dedicate yourself in doing the Master's work. God is calling the prodigal. The song says, come without delay. Won't you come now? Obey Christ.